What are we starting with this week?
A YouTube comment. Oh.
You guys just watched me find the...
I didn't, actually.
You know, look.
Oh, it's a Wii Review.
It's a Wii Review.
I got it right. Didn't
you? You're darn right. A Wii Review. So this Wii Review comes from Apple Podcasts. If you would like to leave a Wii Review, please go to Apple Podcasts and just type in a lovely little 5-star review. Let us know what you think. Yeah.
Yeah, go do that, please.
Thanks. So it says, caught up, now what? I've been an avid listener since day one, but fell off listening during COVID as I no longer had my commute time to listen in. But in the last month, I have binge listened to the last 50 or so episodes and I'm now caught up and don't know what to do with myself. Brilliant podcast, so funny and interesting.
Tell you what you can do yourself. You can head over to our Patreon where there are bonus episodes.
Whoa. There you go.
Also, a brand new podcast. A premium podcast that you can only get right now over on our Patreon. Mm-hmm. So head there if you want to listen to Sci Guys After Dark. That's very good. I like that.
That's great.
Yeah. And one question before we start the show.
Not for us, though.
No, not for you. Mm. Not for you guys. What's your favorite crustacean?
Yeah.
You know, you got crabs, you got lobsters, you got...
Shrimps.
Shrimp. Mm. And others. Mm-hmm. Let us know which one you like the most.
Snails?
No.
They're not crustaceans.
No.
Let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to the Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined here by my co-hosts, Jamp and Luke Cutfer.
Correct.
Hi, welcome back.
This week, I'm going to make your lobster.
Lobsters.
Stir my lobster.
I'll stir your little lobs.
Ew. What is a lob?
Like a large throw.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. How do you stir such a lob?
Well, you'll find out in the
throes. Oh, I guess we will.
In the throes of this episode. I want to ask you if you've heard anything, heard of something called the Order of the Holy Claw or the Leviathan Lobster God.
Is that a religion?
Is this a Jordan Peterson thing?
It's more of a cult.
That's what I was thinking.
You know what?
So religion.
Researching this episode, Jordan Peterson came up an awful lot.
And really?
Yeah, and it's really frustrating because you just want to look into lobsters.
Is he the leader?
No.
No.
No. Okay. He couldn't lead. No, don't be mean to Jordan Peterson. Be nice. No. We're being nice to Jordan Peterson today. Okay?
Okay.
He deserves it.
Not a single mean phrase about that man.
No.
So anyway, Jordan Peterson keeps on coming up whenever I'm looking up the stuff because obviously he said the dumb stuff about the lobster.
Oh, no mean things, you said.
That's not a mean thing about Jordan Peterson. It's just about a dumb thing he said.
It's not dumb. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it can be dumb and interesting.
It's interesting. It's not dumb.
Love Island is
people just use it as a thing they talk about as a joke. It's quite. I find it really interesting.
Okay,
actually.
I'll be nicer to him.
No, it doesn't matter.
I don't want to say it's dumb if that's
well, you
fine.
Can think it's dumb if you want, Corey.
I don't
it can be dumb and interesting.
I just like the fact that you broke your own rule straight away. I think it's quite funny.
Yeah, I'll do
mean things about Jordan Peterson. Anyway, Jordan Peterson came up because this dumb thing about the lobster.
Yeah, that was the
yeah. So just leave it in. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
We've spent too long on this. The lobster cult.
So the lobster cult. You guys haven't heard of this cult of lobsters.
Is it a cult of people or a cult of lobsters?
I assume it's a cult of people that worship lobsters.
Well, not lobsters.
Lobster.
Lobster.
Okay.
Well, okay. Let's. I actually want you all to figure this out, right?
Okay.
I want you to try and figure this out. So Leviathan lobster god. What do you think might be what might be the goal here with a lobster, and what you know about the word Leviathan, and what you know about the word god?
Is this a particularly old lobster? I don't know.
Oh, that comes into it.
The oldest, biggest lobster.
That is basically the idea.
Right.
So
it's real.
Well, no. Yes and no. So there was a Facebook group. Okay.
Oh my God. We're really scraping the bottom of the barrel now with this podcast.
Came up on my TikTok and I was like, that's funny.
That sounds in the description.
I was like, I want to look into that. I know some. I could make this into an episode. And so I will. Why not?
Yeah. Why not?
I can do exactly what I want. So
he's gone mad with power.
It was all leading up to this. Lobsters. It's all lobsters, Luke. So there's a Facebook group called Plans to Create and Worship Our Leviathan Lobster God. Essentially, they vow to raise their crustacean leader and basically just feed it and help it molt until it's a giant size and it can be their god and lead them And it says, we are going to take a lobster, help it mold its shell over several generations, and create a Leviathan god. Here we will plan our god's birth and rise to divinity. So the idea is to take a lobster.
Yeah.
And this is really a bonus episode topic, isn't it? The idea is to take a lobster and let it grow and continue to help it grow so it can live forever and over multiple generations, let it continue growing and all that. And and then it will be big enough to be a god.
A lobster is one of these animals that can theoretically grow and grow forever.
That's where I was getting to. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the idea here is that lobsters are, people say lobsters are biologically immortal, which means they can't die. We'll get into that in a bit. But that's where this this came from. And the page was created in June of 2020. So it's been running for a bit.
It's recent.
Well, I mean,
relatively.
Well, I mean,
compared to like Christianity, that's quite old.
Well, I suppose if you compare many things to Christianity, they're quite, yeah. I'm quite young compared to Christianity, I suppose.
I'm quite old compared to this religion.
You can be one of the elders.
Yeah.
I remember when this religion started.
Ah, young lobster when I was your age.
So there were over 23,000 members on the Facebook group. Lots of people joined it. And I actually also found a website called leviathanlobstergod.com. And what's interesting is that they do beach cleanups. It says, one of our primary forms of outreach includes massive scale beach cleanups around the globe. Aww. Get involved today to help stop the negative effects caused by litter, pollution, and more. So
that's quite nice, actually.
Yeah, the silly Facebook group has turned into like an actual sort of project to it says, improve life for all. Feeling down, needing attention, our social groups satisfy your thirst for interaction while providing a constant source of humor and inspiration. Mm. We even donate a part of each purchase from our store to Marine Charity. And they also talk about raising a lobster god. It says, this cannot be understated. Our lorb must molt a great many times before it will be able to take over in an official capacity. We have to provide security for the lorb. Essentially, lorb meaning lord lobster god.
Lorb.
Like lord, but lob.
It's a good name.
Yeah. Lorb.
Lorb.
Yes.
Are they actually raising a lobster?
I don't think so.
So they haven't selected a lobster yet?
I've not seen a lobster that's been raised.
They're just prepping the lobster raising process.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think it's mostly a joke. And I think And I think that some people took advantage of it to do some good in the world, which I think is really lovely. And that's why I wanted to talk about it.
Nice.
And moving on from that, I think maybe this kind of opens up the idea of immortality with lobsters. So we spoke about immortality before. Mm. And so now I'm going to talk about, I guess, the feasibility of an immortal lobster god and the kind of science behind that. Yeah? Does that make sense?
Yes.
This really is a bonus episode, isn't it?
Yeah, if you like more deranged stuff like this, go to our Patreon.
We've got so many of these. I think we genuinely did one bonus episode where we figured out the science of Christmas, right?
Oh, that was a while
about
ago.
Santa. Yeah,
that
was about Santa.
That was back in 2019.
Back in 2019. Yeah. Damn. Good times.
Well, we recorded it in 2019 and released it.
In 2020.
In 2020.
There you go.
There you go.
Head to the Patreon and check all those out. Lots of crazy science that we just chat about. So, lobsters. What's a lobster?
A crustacean with big pincers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anything else you know
quite
about
quite tasty, apparently, although I don't think I've had lobster ever.
Lobster's great.
Red.
It's really good.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
orange. When you cook it.
Really? What colour are they before you cook
them? Well, they're still red, but they're not quite as...
okay.
I'll get a picture up for you.
They're just sunburned.
I mean, they're burned. They're burned. Drop them into boiling water.
Yeah, so a lobster, they're a deeper colour than you see when they're cooked, obviously. Similar to shrimp, they're more of a sort of black, a blacky, browny colour usually.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah?
Yeah, Google lobster if you're listening on the podcast. They are a lot darker than you'd expect.
Looks like someone shoved it up a chimney.
I think I've been misled by the Little Mermaid.
That was a crab.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then I haven't.
I've been seriously misled by the Little Mermaid.
I think crabs have six legs, though, don't they? Or they've got six or eight legs.
They've got six legs and then the pincers.
So they've got eight legs, whereas lobsters are decapods. They have
8 legs plus pincers.
Yeah, well, 10 legs, actually.
Do the pincers count as legs?
Yes, they do count as legs. The pincers are legs. So,
What's the difference between a leg and an arm? Why aren't they arms?
There's not much difference between a leg and an arm.
Well, that's my
tell
point.
Tell it to us.
So he's got 8 legs and 2 arms. I've got 4 legs. some of which I can grab with.
You've got four limbs, okay? Their pincers are legs.
Why are they legs? Why are they not arms? They can grab with them.
Yeah,
we could just call them limbs.
But seriously, why are they legs and not arms?
Because it's just how we—it's just what we call them. They're just legs.
So we should think of them as limbs, but we call them legs.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
But
weird rule.
So
you can't grab stuff with legs unless you use both legs at the same time.
You can absolutely grab something with legs.
I dropped it on the floor.
Sure, but not in like layman discussions. No, stop trying to grab me. Corey's trying to grab me with his legs.
I grabbed your trousers.
Yeah, good for you.
You guys do this anyway.
Give me your trousers. Give them to me. I'm pulling them with my toes.
All right. Well. Sure, you've proved your point.
No, so interestingly, this is what I'm trying to get to, but you keep on getting stuck on the legs thing.
Mm.
Lobsters have claws on how many pairs of their legs?
None, because they're arms.
Lobsters, true lobsters, have claws on the first three pairs of legs.
What?
With claws on the first, very large claws on the first pair. Usually one
really?
Is larger
than the
other.
They have tiny claws on the...
Little
two rows back.
Close.
So in my opinion, they now have six arms and four legs.
Sure. Okay buddy. That's fine.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. You going to join my cult of renaming lobster limbs?
I don't think you can just call it a cult.
Mm.
Other things a cult, most definitely. So,
So lobsters, they're invertebrates. They've got a sort of hard outer exoskeleton shell. They're nocturnal, which is cool. They are they're bottom dwellers. They sort of scavenge for dead animals, but they can also eat live fish. Just, and you know, put them in their little mouths.
Just grab and have a snack.
Yeah. Obviously, we eat some of them as well. And they've got sort of a segmented body. Like I said, five pairs of legs, so 10 legs total. It's one or more pairs of those legs are modified into pincers.
Mm.
As I said, true lobsters have three sets of pincers, but two large pincers at the front. And their eyes, you probably know this, they've got compound eyes on the sort of movable
stalks.
Yeah, which is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
They're so cute.
Like snails.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like they're like hard, snippy snails.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've got long antenna, legs at the back, which are for sort of swimming, and then like a sort of long abdomen with that sort of tail as well. You know, the sort of lobster tail?
Yeah, like a big fin.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they flex the tail to sort of they flex the tail to sort of swim. It's kind of like a flipper. So they can do that as well.
Like a mermaid.
Yeah.
I was gonna say like a dolphin.
The lobster mermaid. Yeah. Merlob. I know.
What came first, the lobster or the mermaid?
Oh, lobsters are actually very caring lovers, so probably the mermaid.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think it with those big meaty claws, but
oh, they can do a lot.
Where would you find lobsters? Lobsters.
At my local restaurant.
Yeah.
In the big fish tank where they live happily ever after.
Jamp, I want you to sit in that restaurant and watch that tank all night, okay?
I don't have the time.
Some of them go on holiday, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They take them out and they go to the VIP section.
In the back.
Out the back, yeah.
And they have such a good time on holiday, they don't come back.
Yeah, the lovely gentleman in the white hat comes through, takes it out the back and... Yeah, I guess they spend the rest of their life there. It must be really good.
Very warm, I'm told.
Yeah. It's a jacuzzi. It's a bubble, you know, bubble bath.
We're joking about something very sad.
Where specifically? I hope there's no lobsters.
In the Mediterranean.
In the Mediterranean?
No.
Yeah?
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 Great.
I think a better question.
I guess
where do you not find lobsters?
On land.
On land, yeah.
Well, you can find a lobster. Oh my.
My fridge because I don't eat them.
That's true.
My point is you can find lobsters pretty much everywhere, except for...
Mount Everest.
Okay.
The Sahara.
Right. Well, you can find true lobsters in all seas apart from polar ones and when it's really, really deep. But otherwise, they're pretty much everywhere. So lobsters are pretty solid. You can find them most places.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's the same lobster, the same sort of large lobsters that are useful for eating, you know, but they're true lobsters pretty much everywhere.
Versions of?
Yeah, different. Yeah. Yeah, you know, like you've got Pokemon Red, Pokemon Blue. You've got actually got red and blue lobsters as well. You can get a blue lobster. You guys know about that?
Mm. Oh, I have heard of this.
Find them in the Arctic.
I just said you don't find them in polar seas.
Good. For you.
We have tiny little ones in Australia, and they get in, if you find like a little pond or something, mm-hmm. you might find tiny little lobster looking things, and they're called yabbies. They're called yabbies.
Yabbies.
Yabbies. Yeah.
Why do but they look.
They, I don't think they are lobsters, but they're crustaceans definitely. Mm-hmm. But they do look like tiny, tiny little lobsters.
That's cute. Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. Yeah. They're cool. Well, we've got lots of different. I mean, we've got the European lobster, which is a sort of dark green. It's in the European Atlantic coast and the Mediterranean Sea. And there's different lobsters in South Africa, which only gets to be about 4 or 5 inches long. And just it says on Britannica, it is of little commercial value. Which I think is a really rude thing to say about an animal that's just like, we can't use it for anything that like we can't make money using this animal because it's not big enough for us to eat.
They don't need to have commercial value.
Yeah, they don't need to. They've got
have value by themselves.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
The content of their character.
So now moving on to something maybe a little less fun than lobsters.
Oh God.
Aging and senescence. Do you know what senescence is? You should. We spoke about it over a year ago, so you probably won't.
Was it during episode 50, the science of immortality?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't remember.
No? Nothing?
Senescence.
Senescence.
I can...
Hazard a guess.
I get the word essence.
Fancy word for aging.
I mean, it's kind of the one of the root causes of aging, really.
Is it telomeres?
Oh.
Well, it's not...
I was going to say the telomere thing.
It's not quite telomere. So, basically, aging... Lots of things can cause aging. We don't really understand fully the biological cause of aging entirely, but... Senescence is something that happens in cells wherein they sort of some sort of things about them change. You have stable growth arrest. Essentially, they stop developing normally and they stop sort of replicating the way that they normally would, and that they just kind of stop doing that. They just kind of chill out, which is kind of what happens in aging. It's one of those things that cause you to age, in that, like, you know, it stops, senescence is a normal thing that happens, right? It can stop tumor progression, all of this thing, but also it's a big thing that causes sort of age-related disease, because senescent cells don't operate the way that normal cells do, and you basically, as you become older, more cells become senescent.
So is senescence the thing that is meant to go off that prevents cells from becoming cancerous?
That's apoptosis, really.
Oh, okay.
So apoptosis is cell death.
Yeah.
Senescence is just kind of like cells chilling out and not doing much.
Not dividing anymore.
And they're just chilling. Yeah. And whereas apoptosis is cell death, which is what's supposed to happen when a cell kind of becomes, when that kind of becomes dysregulated, then a cell will not die and it will continue dividing, and that's kind of implicating cancer.
So it's like cell retirement.
Yeah.
Mm. They don't die. They just They go on holiday.
You're like, okay.
They don't make any more babies.
Just start chilling.
Yeah. So, good, I mean, and death. Obviously in aging, you've got like, can you describe aging for me? Either of you?
Wrinkly.
I was going to say going wrinkly, going gray.
Getting tired.
Getting sluggish.
Losing your muscle mass.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's sort of a gradual decline in functionality, essentially, right? And obviously sort of dying of old age, when all of that sort of damage to your cells, to your DNA accumulates, eventually your body is just like, well, can't do much else. You know, like there's, it kind of happens at the same rate kind of across your entire body usually. I mean, obviously some parts will be more stressed than others. Some parts might give out before others, but yeah, aging kind of happens just like it's just this sort of slow process as, you know, you mentioned the telomeres, we'll get into that in a sec, but as your body essentially gets older, it starts to lose function, and eventually it's just like, well, too much function is gone, that's it. And again, as I've said, we don't necessarily know all of the biological causes of aging, but we're kind of getting there. We know about senescence and we know about telomeres. What do you know about telomeres,
Jam? Do you want to take this?
Yeah, go for it.
They are the ends, I'm going to butcher this, but to my knowledge, they're like the ends of the DNA that slowly get chopped away.
Yeah.
Every time they replenish.
Yeah, so on the end of your DNA, you've actually got telomeres. These are these little things, think of them as little caps on the end of just sort of excess bits of code that you don't need for anything. The only reason that they're is because when you sort of replicate your DNA, you can lose a little bit every sort of time, right? And in order to lose a little bit from the end every sort of time, because there's faulty processes, all of that. And to stop that from impacting really important
actual DNA. Yeah,
the actual DNA with all your important sort of genes and whatnot, you've got these bits on the end called telomeres. And if you, so as you age, your telomeres will shorten and shorten and shorten over like countless divisions and like sort of replications of your DNA. And it gets to a point where once the telomeres are gone, it's like, oh no, now my genes are starting to be affected.
Oh dear.
Yeah, and that's implicated in a lot of age-related diseases. And it's also like, you know, it's one of the, I mean, and you know, aging is a massive risk factor for cancer, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, neurodegenerative disorders. And I mean, the sort of shortening of the telomeres is one reason that happens, essentially because your DNA just gets all jacked up.
Yeah,
as you get older. So the shortening of your telomeres will lead to senescence of your cells, or apoptosis, which is sort of programmed cell death, which is essentially where your cell is like, oh no, I'm not working properly, I'm gonna die. And then the cell dies and it gets sort of digested by your body and recycled usually. And if you've got people with shorter telomeres have an increased sort of incidence of diseases and like lower survival rates, and you can sort of change the rate of sort of decay of your telomeres depending on different lives, like the different lifestyle choices that you lead, right? Like, so I mean, obviously, like if you're out drinking alcohol, doing drugs and smoking, and I don't know, eating processed fatty foods, and playing American football without exercising, then wait, no, playing American football, you'll be fine. Not
playing
exercising.
American football damages your telomeres.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking the concussion is probably not good for you.
Not for your telomeres, though.
honestly, I was thinking, what are things that are bad for you? And the last thing to come to mind was American football. American football probably will not shorten your telomeres, no. But no, like obviously all of those things, sort of like smoking, drinking, all of those sort of general risk factors for, say, cancer or you know, like other sort of like serious diseases, you know, all of those can increase the shortening of your telomeres. If you have a better diet, you remain more active, you can shorten the you can reduce the shortening of your telomeres and sort of at the very least stop excessive telomere damage from happening. Right, so doing all of this can not necessarily make you stop aging, but it can slow the process of damage to your DNA. That makes sense. So it's really important, if you want to not age, to not have your telomeres shorten quickly. So that kind of brings us on to the lobsters again. Do you want to hazard a guess as to why lobsters might be functionally or biologically immortal, as people say?
Their telomeres heal themselves.
Kind of,
yeah. Or they have just ludicrously long telomeres.
Just the entire lobster is telomere. That entire tail.
I'm all telomeres.
That's what the eye stalks are. They're just telomeres that are bursting out.
Yeah, no. So, basically, because lobsters don't go through senescence, right? Their cells don't ever stop sort of acting normally. They just continue to act normally, and it's because they constantly are repairing their DNA. They've got something called telomerase. You might have heard of that before.
We have, right? Yeah, we've spoken about it before.
So what do you think that does?
It heals telomeres.
Replenishes them, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I think we have spoken about it before. Do we have this as well, just in lower amounts?
Yeah, that's it. Awesome. So we do have telomerase. It's present. Most other animals have it, right? It's just once you get past like once you're not in an embryo anymore, like once you're past that stage of your life, you tend to have just like not very much of it, and it's not enough to rebuild the telomeres.
Can you just inject it?
I was thinking about this, right? I was thinking, like, I feel like we're getting to a point of, we must be getting close to stopping, not stopping, but like at least slowing aging significantly, right? I mean, I guess... this is what I wanted to talk about, actually, like, because obviously this is the episode topic and all that. But what I really the point of this episode that I wanted to get to was just a conversation about stopping aging and all of that, because I feel like we must be getting to a point of like not aging as fast at the very least soon. Obviously, we don't understand. The first step would be to understand how aging happens. It's a very complex process, as I've said, but we understand a little bit about it, and that's just one step before stopping it or slowing it, and then. You live forever until, you know, I don't know, you die in a war or you starve to death because
something takes you out.
Big Papa capitalism is
hit by a car,
stealing the food from your mouth. Yeah.
Is telomerase is it just a chemical or is it a process?
So it's an enzyme. Sorry. Right. So if I say something A's,
yeah.
the ASE
yep.
sort of suffix usually denotes an enzyme.
Right.
So if you could get it into a cell, it would just automatically find the DNA and or float towards the DNA eventually and then heal the telomere.
Well, I mean, one would assume that one would assume that if you were like since we already have the capacity for telomerase to be used, it's just a case of ensuring that that remains switched on to the appropriate degree in humans for.
Wow. So if you could just figure out a way of, I mean, you could use either CRISPR-Cas9 to add a gene for like generating telomeres after being an embryo, or do that from an embryo stage.
Yeah, well, we have the gene.
Yeah, but if you can,
it's a case of
put it in such a way that we know it doesn't affect anything else, then that's a lot of aging fixed. It's just getting that past an ethics board.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a case, you could try it in other animals.
Yeah,
and I think it's a case of trying to get it to switch on, right? Because the gene is there.
Yeah.
So we have the enzyme. We already have a human enzyme.
Right.
It's not like we're trying to modify a lobster. I mean, the thing is, right? It might be more complex than we're aware of. I'm sure there's probably someone listening or watching right now who is studying this specifically. And if you are, please do let us know, because we always love hearing from people that are studying things that we bring up. And we always love, people sort of enlightening us on their topics of study. But it probably is more complex than that. But on the face of it, the problem seems fairly simple, right? Obviously, there are sort of hurdles there. But the problem seems fairly simple in that there is something that we produce naturally in embryo that, if we were to produce later in life, may help us slow the process of aging, which is really cool. So it's a case of you still have that gene, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a case of making sure it switches on to the appropriate degree and it doesn't impact any other cellular function, which I don't know. I think the fact that we could be so close to slowing one part of aging is pretty cool, right?
So have we never tried this before?
To my knowledge, I don't know how many sort of human studies there are on this.
Because the way you're describing it, it almost sounds like we should have tried it already. Or at least like thought up a way.
At least on an animal.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It seems like it's like the lowest hanging fruit.
Yeah.
So I looked into it, and actually there are some studies some ideas from 2002 up until 2015, 2018 of people looking at how telomerase, or however you pronounce it, it doesn't matter, right? I say telomerase. Being gay now, is that?
Telomerase.
For those listening, Jamp just made it. Jamp just did a gay hand sign thing. Yeah, a gay hand sign.
The limp wrist.
Yeah, I wasn't being homophobic with no reason.
Not like you.
At least you had a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually doesn't have a reason.
Usually, my reason is that it's fun, okay? Oh. So, yeah, there seems to be studies on it. Specifically one that looked at how it sort of stopped or slowed or reversed the aging clock with human cells and culture to give them basically applying telomerase.
Human cells when they're like stranded in the forest?
I would have said human cells in America. There's no culture there.
Oh, ho, ho.
Yeah, no, but this obviously is in vitro, not necessarily in vivo. So it's not in a full person. It's just some cells that we cultured. But we're working towards it. Yeah. So yeah, it seems that if we figure out how to harness the sort of telomerase and regulate that, obviously, again, as I've said, there's more than just dumping a bunch of it into a cell and hoping it does fine. Because you'll have to make sure it's regulated to the right degree. Like, and obviously, doing studies on humans is just difficult. Altering human DNA just to stop people from aging, it's just a little bit like, is that gonna easily pass an ethics board? Because is it super necessary? Because it gets into the question of, right, we try to stop death as much as possible, but at some point we recognize that death is sort of natural, right?
Inevitable.
Well, I feel like this the problem with this, with like death, like cheating death, essentially, like getting to the point where you don't die, is that ultimately you're putting off something that you will still eventually have to experience.
I refuse.
It makes death even harder because, like, so I talk to friends sometimes about death because I'm that kind of guy. And because I actually feel quite, I don't feel scared of death. I feel quite excited. It's quite interesting. But Not that I'm like willing it on, but I'm like, when that happens, it's going to be like, it's like going on the scariest roller coaster ever because you have no idea what's about to happen.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, woo, cool. Whereas I have friends who like, I talk to them about that, talk to them, I mention it and they're like, I don't think about it. I'm like, but you know that you will have to eventually think about it. So you're just putting off something that you will eventually have to think about. And the thing is about like, it makes death even more sad because when someone dies, it's obviously horrible, but you know they weren't going to live forever anyway. But if everyone's living forever, it's going to be so much harder when someone doesn't, and so much harder when you then have to, if you have to, because you might just get hit by a truck or something.
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, I think if you do that, then safety is going to go through. I think the world would change drastically if people were able to live forever. Because,
yeah, true.
I mean, obviously, people would eat the rich, I think.
Literally.
Like, would literally eat them. but genuinely, like, imagine if you could live forever, you could just continue accumulating sort of wealth. I mean, it was in the film In Time. Forever, you guys see the film In Time? No. Justin Timberlake. Yeah, Justin Timberlake.
I saw the trailer. No.
It's a great concept. Not that great a film, but I love it. Mm. Essentially, in that, people are able to, essentially, instead of currency,
time
is currency. Oh, yeah. Yes. The length of your life is currency. Yes. So there's people that are rich and live forever. They can like basically live for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And there's different levels of cities, right? Because obviously, the really poor people live in just like sort of rubbish rundown places. Then the ultra wealthy live, basically it's our world right now, but it's all about time on your wrist rather than actually having actual money. And this is the thing, it would end up being that initially what would probably happen is only the rich would live forever. Mm. And so they would continue to gain wealth. And then would that really trickle down to everyone being able to live forever? Would they want to allow it? Because at some point you'd have to think, well, overpopulation is not an issue now, right? It's not. Anyone that says that overpopulation is an issue hasn't looked into it enough, because the world isn't overpopulated. There's a poor distribution of the resources, right? And again, overpopulation is generally something that is just racism wearing a different hat. But overpopulation would be an issue if people didn't die. And the only ones to die were the ones that did something real dumb or, you know, died in some kind of accident.
Or got murdered.
I would say that's dying in some kind of accident. An intentional accident.
Someone else's intention.
Yeah.
Not yours.
I mean, I didn't intend to be murdered. Whoopsie doodle.
Whoops. Oh, won't do that again.
You probably won't. But unless you're Rasputin, in which case, happened a few times. I think that the world would fundamentally change if we were no longer trying to stave off death.
But yeah, I mean, you'd introduce some kind of eventual wealth tax, because the whole thing about like what you're describing, where like resources are collected into one person or family, would be the case if not for inheritance tax. Like, it would just be the case that rich families get rich forever, if in the same way that it would be for an immortal person if you could just pass down your money without any taxes whatsoever. Like, you're, because the entity still survives across multiple families. So you just have a situation where like you'd have to replace inheritance tax with some form of tax on like being alive for a very long time, or like wealth. So your wealth would be taxed rather than your income being taxed.
Yeah. The world that we have now is just not set up to deal with that, right? Everything would really have to change. And even having children, right? You wouldn't be able to have children. You'd have to have limits on children or send them off to other planets. Or realistically, I think if we do have people, oh my God, if we have people able to live for an incredibly long time, you could just send people off to other planets.
Yeah.
You wouldn't need
stasis. Yeah.
You could just have people live, as long as you're able to have enough resources or recycle them, or you can have them live on a ship.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's cool, right?
So if you want to have a baby, cool, you have to change planets first. You set up a colony.
Yeah, that is pretty cool though.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it would end up probably being the wealthy could have kids on this planet and then you just send them away.
They could have their own planet.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That is, I really like the idea of it, seeing what would happen to human society. Although I don't know how the human mind would deal with being able to live for a long time. You'd forget stuff. You'd go nuts, probably, right? Yeah. You'd have to go something.
Well, you just have to figure out those problems as well.
Yeah, I suppose. And, I mean, I guess as well, what's interesting to me is that I think that once sort of biological immortality or biological, like, incredibly long life, you know, like extending life by decades were to happen, and we were to push that forward, let's say it was possible. I mean, conceivably, it is possible in other animals. So it could be possible in humans, potentially. We could work on those problems. We didn't think that transplants were possible, you know, and now they are. So many things have moved forwards. But I think one main thing that is kind of macabre that would need to be brought in if we did extend life sort of, not even just sort of forever, conceivably, but just for a longer time. You'd need to allow people to die if they wanted to, you know?
Yes.
I mean, people above, you could probably have to limit it to being people above a certain age, but you would have to let people die if they wanted to.
But you would surely, oh, wait, no, because you were potentially modifying the genome to make telomerase. So it's not even like you could just stop taking your telomerase injections if your body is now producing it. Mm-hmm. You have to have the option of dying.
Yeah.
Which I feel like ultimately everyone would pick eventually, because you would eventually experience all the things enough times and become tired of defending this sort of fleshy suit that you have to defend, or at least defending your fleshy brain or whatever it is that makes you. Eventually you would go, okay, what's the next adventure? And the next adventure would be, that's what happens when you die.
The number of things we could do with an extended human life, right? The number of things that we could study, the number of things that we could achieve. I don't know. I feel like wars would probably end. Not necessarily, but I feel like it'd be, you'd be less, okay, if you have the potential of a longer life, you have more on at stake, right? More to risk. You'd be less inclined to sort of cut that short. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Sorry, say that again.
Right.
I feel like people would be less inclined to go to war or to put themselves in a position where they are more likely to die, because
if that was the only thing that could lead to your death.
Yeah, that's the only thing that could lead to your death. And you're gambling. You've got more you're gambling for. Because it's, okay, let's say you're 20, right? Or you're 30, or you're 40. If you're 40, you're like, oh, well, my life is like half over, right? Yeah. You're not losing as much. Obviously, no one wants to, most people don't want to die, right? But if you're 40 and you're only going to live to 80, halfway through your life, if you're 40 and you can live to 200, or 300 or 500, you're like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like it'd be a much harder sell, like sending people off to war when it's like, they could live forever. Why are you sending them off to war and letting them die at the age? I think it'd be a much harder sell. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Not to say that it's not a hard sell now, but I just think a lot of things would change, even if we extended life by even 50 years, you know?
Well, you'd hope that more people who operate in the world would be wise if they've lived for a bunch of time. Like you got to hope that at least there is a, not a causation, but a correlation between length of time on Earth and wisdom.
More people have more experiences.
Yeah, not for everybody, but you live through more ages, you've lived through more change, and you'd hope that some of that would crystallize into a certain level of wisdom.
I think there are two lines it could go down, really. I think the first is, well, which one do you want first? Optimistic or pessimistic?
Pessimistic first.
Pessimistic first?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I'm being entirely pessimistic, I think that people don't accumulate evidence to sort of refute their own beliefs. They accumulate evidence to confirm their own beliefs, sort of the confirmation bias. They will ignore things that disagree with what they think or already believe. It's very hard to get people to change their mind. It's very hard to get old people to change their mind, as we're all aware. Like, if you've spent 80 years of your life believing something, it's very hard to stop believing that.
Yeah, you have to admit to yourself that you've been wrong for
exactly
how many decades.
I think we'll figure that out as well, though. We'll figure out plasticity of mind.
I mean, ideally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that, right? There's the fact that people are stubborn and difficult to deal with at the best of times. And if you've got people living to over 100, 200,
yeah,
things that are entrenched, it'd be okay, because social progress happens, right? Because people say, I don't like how this is now.
I will now educate the next generation.
Yeah, and the next generation pushes forward a little bit more and pushes forward a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. But over the course of one person's life, I think it'd probably be harder to get them to continue to push forward, because They'll be like, oh, well, that's not how it was back in my day. Oh, well, things seem to be fine now.
Back in my day when I was 90.
Yeah, right? So I think you might see a stalling of progress in certain areas.
Yeah.
Because you just have an increased population of people who are just like, no, I don't care. But if I'm gonna not be pessimistic, not be a doomer about it, positivity here. I think that potentially, if you live longer, you can have more experiences. And we know that experiencing people of different cultures, experiencing different people different to yourself, tends to lead you to being less bigoted, mm-hmm. right? Mm. So there could be that aspect as well, right? That if you live long enough, you can accumulate enough experiences that we kind of wipe out bigotry just through people being like, oh, well, what's the point, mm. you know?
Well, and also, like, we did that. I think it was a clip about consciousness and consciousness, the one theory of consciousness being like consciousness arises from interdependent systems. So like if some aspect of the back of your brain is the output of like one section of your brain is changed by the output of another section of your brain, they may as well basically become one conscious system together, right? So if you have like if you're something happens in your, say, to be simplistic, your right hemisphere, and it has literally no effect at all on your left hemisphere, then there's no reason for those two things to work together, and they might not become one conscious system. But if something happens on the right side of your hemisphere and it affects the output on the left side of your hemisphere, or the back of your hemisphere, or in your stomach or in your leg or whatever, then those things may as well and do act as a conscious single entity, mm-hmm. which is that's the theory, right? And so as we become more interconnected, because what we're doing with like the internet and what we did with like mail and transport and all those things is we're essentially creating causal systems that link together different people, where like suddenly the output I give has a causal effect on some person around the world. Right now I am creating sounds with my voice box that are creating brain signals in people's minds around the world, right, who are listening to this podcast. And that is causality, right? Causality is happening in a way that I can't even comprehend. Mm. And so as we then eventually have brain interfaces that can hook up to the internet, we just essentially become one mind, right, across time. So like there's this theory which is like the Christian God is a piece of software, and the Christian God is essentially a self. If you imagine, you aren't really one thing. Mm-hmm. You are a bunch of cells working together, and they basically run this piece of software called Cori or called Jamp or called mm-hmm. Luke that allows them to work together, even though they are separate biological entities, right? And that means that they have to work together because that is the best chance they have for survival. Well, the one idea is that God is essentially a self that is spanning across multiple brains. So if you have this software called God, and I have this software called God, and Jamp has this software called God, and we all have roughly the same God, then we can cooperate because we both have the same system of ethics, we both have the same beliefs about the universe, etc. And that God guides all of our actions and movements in a similar way, so we can roughly work together. And that is a self spanning multiple brains in the same way that Bitcoin is a piece of software that's running across multiple computers, and the Bitcoin network exists across multiple computers. Eventually, we could get to the point where humanity has a self, because of the causal links created between us by brain-computer interfaces and the internet, and the outputs of one human affecting the outputs of every other human. You could have a self booted online that spans across all of our minds.
Yeah. Now, that's it.
That's really cool.
It is very cool.
Because why shouldn't it? In the way that your two hemispheres are connected and then create one self across both minds.
Yeah. I mean, you say something that's interesting in that. I mean, this is something I've been thinking about a little bit recently as well, that you say that, you know, you've got all those cells, those tiny little cells that make up you, and not just the sort of cells that are you, right? You've got all the different sort of bacteria and all that, but not any individual one of them knows that they are part of a greater thing necessarily, right? They're just doing their job. Like a red blood cell is just doing its job. Doesn't even have a nucleus. It's just like, oxygen, cool. Okay, bio oxygen. Nice. It's just going around doing that thing. You know, you've got cells that are just there digesting. You've got bacteria that are just trying to survive, and they're surviving in the environment of your gut. But also, they're producing molecules that are used in your brain that are transmitted via the gut-brain axis, right? Mm. We've done an episode on this, the science of, what is it?
21, it's something about guts.
There we go, episode 21. Yeah. None of those individual cells necessarily know that they are part of a greater thing, that they are producing a consciousness. Like, I don't think an individual one of my brain cells could know that it is being utilized in a fashion in which it is creating this sentence that I'm saying right now, or it is creating the thoughts that are influencing this sentence, right? I don't think a single one of them will know that. So it's interesting that we all like to think of ourselves as being very separate entities, when ultimately, if we looked at it, the most basic point of it, we are essentially just chemicals that are chemical reactions that are continuing themselves. Their goal is just to continue themselves indefinitely, right? At the very basic level, that is what life is. Mm. It's interesting to me that we think of ourselves as such separate. Outside of the sort of that's not the specific definition.
Well, I was just going to say that they're not. I know you know this, but they're not chemicals whose goal is to continue themselves. They are structures that, by the laws of nature, they are continued. Continuing happens.
I'm saying the chemical reactions continue themselves, not the chemicals. The chemical reactions continue themselves. You are a collection of chemical reactions.
Yes, sure. And so they like loop. They're a causal loop. Yeah.
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 It's basically self-sustaining chemical reactions that exist sort of outside of sort of, what's it? Sort of not homeostasis. The word for balanced. When it's something is equilibrium.
Yeah.
Equilibrium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Outside of that sort of equilibrium, they exist outside of that sort of chemical equilibrium, but they replicate and continue themselves. Mm. But we think of ourselves as being all very separate things. Mm-hmm. But then equally in that, like I said, a single cell of my body doesn't know that it's part of the greater whole necessarily. Why would you think of ourselves as being a part of a greater whole when we don't know? And when you think about it, there is some kind of consciousness that comes from a group of people. Like a country can do, we talk about countries doing things. Obviously that's a facet of our language, but we talk about countries doing things. We talk about cities doing things. And yeah, often it can come down to the sort of choices of an individual, but that individual in many places is nominated by the country, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
By multiple people. Multiple people can act as a single sort of consciousness in a sense, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting that it's weird that we don't think about it like that. We like to think of ourselves as being very individual and very unique and very separate from the rest of the world. But
it's because of our economic system has taught us to be like that. Mm.
Well, sure. I mean, I think even in other economic systems, we'd still think of ourselves as being separate from the world, not like and separate from other people. I don't mean separate in terms of like better than or different than. I just mean separate as in like there was a separation between me,
your skin,
and everything else.
Yeah, like your ego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe if we live forever, we could get off of that idea.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is that there are reports of people who transcend that.
Really?
There are reports where you essentially undergo a process whereby you gain subjective awareness of the fact that that's not true and it is an illusion. In ego death, yeah. Hmm. Where it's not just that you decide to act in a way that is sort of altruistic, it's where you gain the subjective realization that the whole time you thought that was going on, it was an illusion. Mm. I don't know what this is. I haven't had this experience, but like I suppose in the same way that like on a bigger level, like when we look at history and we go, this person discovered this thing, and that like ignores the fact that there were loads of people who were also instrumental in that. Mm. There's loads of people who contributed to that before that person. There are loads of happenstances that happened that like, so although it probably didn't happen, an apple fell on Newton's head, like all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Like that knowledge was there to be discovered. Someone happened to discover it at a certain time. Had they not, someone else would have discovered it. And lots of other discoveries done by other people led to that discovery. Mm-hmm. So our want as human beings to create simplistic stories out of the world leads to our way of talking about things, but that might not be really how those things are happening. We're just sort of surfing this little wave of happenings.
Yeah, I think what you're kind of touching on there is the fact that the way that our language bleeds into our understanding or influences or really just creates our understanding of the world, right? Mm. And limited language creates limited understanding. And that is not necessarily fine, but it is workable if you can sort of pull yourself out of that and realize the language that we use is limited. And since our understanding often comes from language, or it is explained itself in language, then our understanding will be limited. And then if you pull yourself out of that a bit, you can at least recognize that. But I feel like a lot of people generally don't.
Well, we're not taught to.
No, it's an easy thing to teach people. No, absolutely not of their own.
But we're not taught to.
Yeah, no, not of their own accord. I mean, like, as in, it's definitely something that should be taught. But I think the issue is that there doesn't seem to be much benefit to society of people thinking that. You know what I mean?
I think that's a wonderful benefit to society to not thinking that, but not if your goal is to sort of amass resources and reproduce and spread across the galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
if
I
If your
mean.
Goal is to be happy, there's quite a lot of benefit to it.
Happy doesn't make me money, Luke. So let's get back to lobsters. So we were talking about lobsters being immortal. And the thing is that, yeah, they can repair their DNA, but they're not, and when we say they're biologically immortal, that doesn't mean that you'll see a lobster living forever. Lobsters do die.
Because they get eaten.
Not just from getting eaten.
Oh, they grow too big and can't get crushed by their own shells.
Well, it's not that they get crushed by their own shells specifically. You're on the right track. So what happens is lobsters molt their shells.
Yeah.
Or molt their sort of exoskeletons. And molting obviously takes energy to do. And it's at some point, lobsters can get so large and the energy required for molting becomes so much that they just die of exhaustion.
Yeah.
Or they stop molting. And if they stop molting, basically bacteria will get into the cracks and all of that in their sort of their shells, and they'll just get infected and die. So
sad.
They're not immortal. They're not entirely immortal, but they don't experience senescence. And I think it's an interesting thing to talk about with us, because we can stop the telomeres from shortening, but then you've got another issue.
There'll be issues that we can't foresee.
Exactly. I mean, we've been able to extend life quite a long time, but we've then. Now that we're standing alive, oh boy, cancer is an issue now, right?
Yeah, is an issue,
right?
Yeah,
like it's just all of like there are always going to be other problems to solve, but I don't think it means we should stop. I think it's interesting. I don't think we should avoid death, but I think extending life is fine. I think one thing that is kind of my philosophy with TikTok, at least when TikTok introduced 3-minute videos, I was like, awful. Worst thing they could have done. Some people are using it effectively, in that there is not like there is information that you cannot get into a single TikTok, and they're sort of teaching you something, and it's good. Or it's like a song, and it's like, oh, cool, I can listen to this whole song on TikTok now. Good. Mm-hmm. But most people, it seems to be, are using 3-minute TikToks to tell a story very slowly,
yes,
or to let a joke run out longer than it should.
There'll be like a minute and a half of just fluff on the beginning that just didn't need to be there.
Exactly. It's the same when people split things into multiple parts.
Yeah,
could have been one part. Yeah. Splitting into two to get more views. And it might be a similar thing with extending life, wherein, like, is a longer life necessarily a more... Does it necessarily have more value? As in, will you cram in more positive experiences, or will you become complacent and be like, oh, I've got time?
Yeah.
You know?
And what's your selection process for people who extend their life? Do you just blanket extend everyone's life? Well, obviously, you're saying that the selection process will be wealth.
Yeah.
Very likely, unless we have some kind of upheaval in our system, which allows us to sort of more carefully select for who extends life. But then the problem is you then get into, if you don't just give extended life to everyone blanket, you get into basically, what's that nasty thing called?
Eugenics.
Eugenics, where you're like trying to select, oh, well, we're selecting for these traits. And it's like, well, but... that's not objectively a positive trait. What about these things? Oh, well, so like, do you just have to blanket? Because that's the thing, is that the opposite of eugenics is basically what we have, where we try to prolong life as long as possible for everyone without any, at least in our country with the NHS, with public health care, ideally you try to prolong life for everybody where possible within reason, uniformly, regardless of any, you don't have any selection system for that. because selection systems in and of themselves, when it comes to like prolonging life and allowing people to live, are ultimately going to be problematic. Mm-hmm. So we haven't tried because it's so horrible to even contemplate.
Yeah. I think I saw a Love, Death and Robots segment about this, about people that that everyone had like been able to extend their life so they don't die. And so no one was allowed to have kids. And I think, I mean, the choice that you've got there, and this is probably an interesting thing for a sci-fi story, is that you've got the choice between living forever or having kids. Which one do you want to do?
That's really interesting. So you're allowed a certain number of, you're allowed to create a certain number of years. And it's like either you create 3 lives that are 80 years long, or you create 1 life that is 100 or 240 years long.
Yeah, or you could be like, okay, well, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live until 200, because you'd probably remain looking fairly young. I'm going to live till 200. And I'm going to be like, okay, well, I'll have kids now. And I'll know, then you know that when you have kids, you wait until they're maybe like a certain age, and then you pop off.
Cool.
You're only allowed to have 2 kids between, you know,
two people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But who enforces that? It's such a weird thing to enforce.
Yeah, government comes down and they, you know.
They kill you.
Yeah.
For having kids.
Well,
that is essentially what they do.
Well, they don't kill you for having kids. You stop getting your telomerase injections or whatever.
Because you had kids.
Yeah, because you had kids.
But that is, willful execution.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, I'm not saying that should happen or whatever. I'm not saying it will. I'm just saying it's an interesting line to go down. But yeah, so bring it back to the lobsters. Again, as I said, lobsters can't actually live forever because while they don't experience senescence, they do continue growing, and that means they need to shed their exoskeletons. But it gets to a certain point where that takes up too much energy and they end up just dying of exhaustion. Or some really old lobsters will stop shedding and they'll end up dying from infection or something like that. And this is the issue as well. We don't know how old lobsters are. It's difficult to tell how old lobsters are. We think the oldest one might be, I think the average is about 31 years. And average for females is 54. I think that's in the wild. So, you know, lobsters can live a long time, but not necessarily as long as us. Yeah. But, you know, still, if they were able to solve, let's say, the sort of shedding issue, they might be able to live for quite a bit. And to bring it back to this sort of lobster cult, the idea is that because lobsters can, if they're able to molt, as far as we're aware, live technically forever, you help the lobster molt so that it doesn't expend all its energy and end up dying from its inability to molt until it grows to an enormous size and becomes a Leviathan lobster god. Of course, the problem there is we all know the square cube law. It would end up just dying under its own weight and it wouldn't really work.
That's why we need to crack the Higgs boson so we can remove gravity from the equation.
Oh, fantastic. That's the first thing we got to do. If we get rid of gravity, we got to use it to make a lobster god.
Look, we're floating through a rock, floating on a rock through space. If we're going to be here, we may as well do something interesting. Like, we're not doing any weird, interesting things like making a gigantic lobster god for the sake of it.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. Yeah.
The best we're doing is like theater. Come on, giant lobster god.
I feel like end of the world via global pandemic or global warming.
Giant is lobster just, overlord.
It's boring, right? Give us a giant lobster overlord. Yeah, give us a Jurassic Park or something, right? Yeah. If we're going to go out, let's go out with a bang.
Exactly. That should be our pyramids. We should make a giant lobster so that when people look back, they go, wow, how did they do that? Oh. Must have been aliens.
Well, no, Luke, because we're white. White people don't need aliens.
Oh, okay. Right. You're right. We are the aliens.
So I think that's the end of the episode. Thank you all for listening. I do have one last thing to do before we go.
Oh, it's a quick fire quiz.
Oh yes, dun, dun dun dun.
So the
lobster edition.
So the rules of quick fire quiz are very simple. I ask one question between the two of you, just one question. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer after I finish asking the question wins. What do they win, Jamp?
Nothing.
That's gosh darn right.
A free lobster dinner.
Luke, what's your buzzer?
Little lobster pincers.
Jan, what's your buzzer?
Mine was going to be like...
Get your own buzzer.
That's perfectly fine. Both of those are good.
I'm thinking enough. Because mine's like...
Yours is a higher frequency.
I'm sitting in front of you both. I can see you.
Oh, okay, fine.
Listeners, you're screwed.
The listeners at home.
So, my question for you is, how many pairs of legs do true lobsters have pincers on? I think Jan made the noise first.
No way. That's definitely not
true. You started
true.
Snapping your fingers first.
That is the noise. That's the noise.
It also comes along with the...
No, I didn't do that when I gave you my noise. All right, go on then, Jam.
Oh, actually.
Nope.
6 limbs.
Oh.
Wait, no? What was...
Incorrect.
What? Pincers on... Oh, pincers. Oh, shit.
Wait, hold on. What did you say?
Six.
Yeah, that is right.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, six.
I was asking... I was trying to think whether I asked pears or not. Yeah. The whole debacle right. about the... About
right.
the...
He is right.
The buzzer.
You win.
You win, champ. Well done.
Thank you.
Good job.
Don't scare me.
I'm
such
furious.
A sore
Don't
loser.
Scare me
I'm gonna
like
pinch
that.
You with my pincers.
Okay, go for it. Give me one now. Ow, ow. Why did you make that hurt? Okay.
Because they're pincers. What's the point of pincers? They're not playing around.
Okay, so that is it for this week's episode. Before we go, we would like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive producers Ashley Miller and Finn TZ. And also, thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Sunday, and why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
Oh, that's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
Oh, that's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
You can follow me at NotCorey everywhere.
You can follow me at Jamkin everywhere.
You can follow me at Luke Cutforth everywhere.
Goodbye.
Snip, snip. Snip, snip.
Bye, bye, bye.